Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. All right. Sister Betty's class can bounce on up out of here. Let's get all the young folk, make your way down front. Bring your Bible. And everybody be turning to Ephesians chapter number 6. This is our third week in this. I want to kind of hit the ground running. And I want to do my best to try to finish this up. And we get back to a normal schedule around here for Sunday school. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6. Are you glad you saved this morning? Yeah. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I've told y'all before, my granddaddy, you say I'd rather be in the house of God than the best hospital in the county. And he'd follow that up with, I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than be in the best jail in the county. And I ain't got a clue what all that meant, other than I know he's glad to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to be here today. Kind of feel like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so this is a good place to be this morning. We're in Ephesians 6. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We've been dealing with, in the last two Sundays, on the subject, the child-parent relationship. You come to Ephesians, and Paul's letters, he's winding down. It begins, you know, about halfway through Ephesians 5, and he begins to take on the relationships in the lives of believers. He deals with the husband-wife relationship in chapter number 5. The verses we've read this morning and are teaching from these days deal with the child-parent relationship. And then in verses 5 down through verse number, verse number 8, he deals with the servant-master relationship, or the employee-employer relationship. And we must learn that God has instituted these things, and God has structured them in such a way that we ought to live by that structure, and Brother Gerald, operate within the confines and the boundaries that God has set up in those relationships, so that primarily we'll please the Lord. And number two, God knows better than we do. Things operate a lot more smoothly when you do it God's way. A lot of people in their relationships in this life are not doing it according to the Bible and the structure of God, and they wonder why they're so miserable. They wonder why everything's so out of balance and out of kilter in their life. If you get back to doing it how God said to do it, it's amazing how much smoother things run. And we're dealing with the child-parent relationship. Let me make some preliminary remarks again, and I'll hasten on through this as quick as I can. We've said thus far, children are an heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127 and verse number 3, we understand that children are an heritage of the Lord. We understand, according to Proverbs 22:6, that children are in responsibility for the Lord. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And so our children are a responsibility for the Lord. He didn't give us something that we're going to leave around. It'd be amazing this morning if somebody gave us a car. We ain't going to leave it out in the yard, let the weeds grow up under it, and the tires rot out of it, and the motor rust out of it. Amen. We're going to take care of it and cherish it and maintenance it and make sure that, my friend, we do all diligence in taking care of that gift that is given to us. Yet today many folk don't understand the Lord has given them an heritage in their children, and in that heritage is a responsibility to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as we'll see here in a moment. Children are not only a heritage of the Lord, responsibility for the Lord, but they are a treasure from the Lord. I've made this statement last week. It bears repeating, but children are not trash, they're treasure. I hear some folk talk about their children, and I'll deal with maybe some of this in a moment, but the disappointments their children have brought, or the failures their children have made in life, and they downplay their children. They talk a against their children. And the way they talk about their children, you'd think their children are trash. Children are not trash. Children are treasure and ought to be cherished as such. Let me say this, as we've already said in the last few weeks, we've got to understand that even Christian homes, even Christians in the child-parent relationship are not exempt from the pressures and troubles of life. There's going to be times in the child-parent relationship you can be saved as a parent, your children can be saved as the child, and yet you're still going to have issues you've got to deal with. Just because you're saved don't mean you're perfect, and it doesn't exempt you from the pressures and the troubles, my friend, of rearing children for the Lord. We noted this, and it bears much repeating this morning, and there is no such thing as a perfect parent. Children need to understand your parents are not perfect. Lucas, your parents are not perfect. Maddie, your mama and your daddy is not perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. Parents can do the best they can do. At the end of the day, we don't always do right. We don't always have it nailed down. We don't always act right, and we don't always react right. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. And on the flip side, there is no such thing as a perfect child. Amen. There's no such thing, regardless of what grandma and grandpa say, there is no such thing as a perfect child. We are imperfect parents, and therefore we're going to raise children who are not perfect. I believe we ought to be the best parent that we can be. I believe children ought to be the best children they can be. In the child-parent relationship, everybody ought to be striving, amen, for perfection, but at the end of the day, we must understand that our children are not perfect. You go setting that bar and expecting perfection out of your children, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Amen. And if children go raising the bar expecting their parents to be perfect, they're going to be sadly disappointed. And so we're looking at Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4 on the child-parent relationship. We said, number one, we're dealing with the ranks in the relationship. When we've read these verses this morning, one thing is clear, that children are in the subordinate rank and parents are in the authoritative rank. That simply means that parents are in charge and children are not. Children aren't running the home. Children are not leading in this relationship. They're not to be out front. They're to be following. They're the subordinate. And the parents are the authority in the relationship. It's sad, but in our day, we're seeing that flipped around. In this passage, the Lord said, children, obey your parents. You're the subordinate, and parents are the authority. Honor thy father and thy mother. And so we find that, my friend, the father and the mother are in the authority. They're in the authoritative role and rank in this relationship. And children are to be following and are to be obeying and are to be honoring and are to, my friend, be submitting themselves to the authority, may I say, the God-given authority of mother and father. In this hour that we live, I know it ain't popular. I know it ain't accepted in a lot of circles, even in independent fundamental Baptist churches. There seems to be a turning from this principle where we allow children to dictate what happens in the home. I can remember growing up, I grew up in a home that my parents were not perfect, and to this day they're not perfect, have many flaws, but they were pretty keyed in on this idea that children were the subordinate and parents were the authority. It was rare for daddy to ever ask me what I wanted to eat. If it was Sunday afternoon, daddy didn't really care what the children wanted. If daddy wanted steak, we was getting steak. If daddy said we was going to McDonald's, it didn't matter if we wanted Taco Bell. Daddy was in charge. He was the authority. And it was our job to be the subordinate and to follow the leadership. And daddy sat down. Daddy said, listen, daddy didn't come to us and say, do you feel like going to church? It's Sunday morning. Do you feel like going to church? No, Daddy laid down some rules as the authority, and Daddy said, it's Sunday morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we're getting up, and we're going to church whether you feel like it, whether you want to or not. I'm the authority, and we're going to the house of the Lord. Why? Because the parents are the authority, and the children are the subordinate. On and on and on we could go. Daddy would let us play ball growing up, play baseball when I was small, and was pretty good at it as a young feller. And I can remember Daddy going to the coach and saying, listen, I'm going to let my son play on your team, and you know he's good, and you're going to love him on your team, but when you have games on Wednesday, come about 6:15, 6:30, I'm pulling my son off the ball field, and we're going to church. And Daddy didn't ask me what I thought about it. Daddy didn't leave it up to me. And playing on Sunday wasn't an option. Why? Because Daddy was the authority. It was my job to be the subordinate and fulfill that rank, my God-given rank in that relationship. And so we could go on and on and on this morning. Amen. From the early years, from the toddler years to the early years to the preteen years to the teen years, it doesn't change. Parents are the authority, and children are the subordinate. That simply means, again, that parents are in charge and children are not. I don't know why I get hung up on this every week. Amen. Listen, parents, be in charge. Amen. Be in charge. God give you a biblical right to lead your home. Be in charge and lead the way. Amen. Number two, now this is as far as we made it. We're dealing with the responsibilities in the relationship. In this child-parent relationship that Paul lays forth, he not only covers the ranks, but he covers the responsibilities in the relationship. We dealt with, first of all, the responsibilities of children, that being twofold. Number one, verse one, children, obey. Obedience, obeying your parents is the responsibility of children. The word obey means to hear under. It means to listen attentively. It means to heed or conform to an authority or command. And again, we move from the ranks in the relationship to the very detailed responsibilities. Children, obey your parents. You say, what's that mean? That means do what you're told to do. It means to listen attentively when father speaks. Amen. Sit up, shut up, pay attention, and listen to what daddy is telling you to do. And when he gets done, go out and fulfill it to the very best of your ability. Children are to obey. We noted, and it's important and worth noting again, that in Romans 1, verse 28 through 32, that list of characteristics of those that are reprobate and those that have denied God and those that, my friend, have worshipped creation more than the Creator. And that Paul said in that list of idolaters and drunkards and murderers and fighters and revelers and lascivious livers, he said they'll be disobedient to parents. And so that's a pretty severe class of folk to be named with. Children are to obey their parents. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul said this, know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. He gives a list of things that are going to be portrayed in the last days. Right before unholy and unthankful, he said, they'll be disobedient to parents. And so in the last day, listen, when children are not obedient to their parents, fulfilling their God-given responsibility to obey, they are characterizing the wickedness and the if I can put it this way, the severity of godlessness of the last day when they do not obey their parents. And so children's responsibility is to obey. Hallelujah. Colossians 3 and verse 20 said, children, obey your parents in all things. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Ephesians, our text verse said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so what are you to obey your parents in? You're to obey them as in the Lord in all things. Everything. Everything. If they say take out the trash, you obey mom and dad. Amen. And some people, in trying to argue this point, or rather argue against this point, have come up with extremes. Like, you're saying if my daddy tells me to go commit murder, that I've got to obey him. Well, there ain't a child in here whose parent has asked him to commit murder. Amen. Don't use crazy hypothetical situations to justify something you want to be disobedient in. And so if there is a case where your father or mother asks you to do something as heinous as murdering somebody, then you come see the preacher and we'll deal with that matter and that issue, okay? In all things, you are to obey your father and your mother. Not only to obey, that's their role. And in Ephesians 6, in our verses here in this child-parent relationship. Amen. Can I just say this again? I'm bogging down bad. Somebody needs to pray for me. In verse 1, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He said in Colossians 3 and in verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's just right. It's just something that pleases God when you obey your parents. Could we not do any injustice to the Word of God and say that if you disobey, then you are displeasing the Lord? If you disobey, you are doing something that is unrighteous. If it's right when you obey and well-pleasing to the Lord when you obey, then it is not well-pleasing the Lord when you disobey. Am I making sense this morning? Right. That just means it's the same idea, the same word we get the idea of good character from. Children who have good character will obey their parents in the Lord in all things and be well-pleasing to the Lord. Number two, children's responsibility is to honor their parents. Is to honor their parents. Not only obey, but to honor. The word honor means to fix a high value upon. It means to pray. It means to look at your mom and dad and say they're worth more than all the money in the world to me. You get all the money in the world, amen. If you lose your parents, you're going to lose something very, very valuable. God give us parents, my friend, to raise us, and it's our responsibility to honor them. I said this last week. As children grow older, the command and responsibility to obey their parents ceases, but the command to honor your father and mother is unending. We do not believe in patriarchal authority that says I govern every aspect of my children's life even after they've grown, left the house, got married, and started their own family. My rule and authority over them ceases. They're under God and the management of their own home. I do not have the right when they're 33, married, raising their own children, to tell them what to do. Amen, amen, and amen. That is a doctrine that is slowly, that's growing. It's slowly growing, but it's growing in some of our ranks, and it's a devilish doctrine. Amen. We raise our children to shoot them, Psalm 127 and verse 3, to shoot them out as arrows, to let them go and let them, my friend, thrive in their life for God and to succeed. And hopefully, if I get the end of this morning, I deal with that. But that's the mark of a parent. That's the goal of a parent, is to see their children shot forth in life to be successful in the things of God. And my friend, listen, your responsibility, children, one day to obey. Amen. There's coming a day, Riley, that Mark and Candy is not going to be able to make you do anything. The day's coming. Listen, the day's coming when I'm not going to be able to make Tori and Maddie and Sammy and Johnny and Mary and Julie, I'm not going to be able to make them obey me. The day's coming when that responsibility is going to cease. But the responsibility to honor and to put a high value upon and to praise, to honor your parents, is a command, a responsibility. And I don't care if you're 67 and your mom and daddy's 107, it is a command that you're to fulfill to the day they die. Amen, amen. Honor, honor means to revere. It's a New Testament affirmation of an Old Testament command. And what we know is the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and verse number 12, teaches you and I that we're to honor our father and our mother. That means that I am to value them. I'm not to push even when I come of age and begin my own family. I don't push the way I'm going to live my life that contradicts how I was raised. I don't push it back in their face. Amen. Nothing is more disgusting than a child who hits maturity and goes out on their own, maybe begins their own family, and they begin to change the standards they were raised to have. Now, you got every right to do that. I hope you don't, but, amen, mom and daddy can't make you dress right. They can't make you, amen, at a certain point in time in your life, they can't make you listen to a certain kind of music. They can't make you not go to certain places, but it is a shame and it is dishonorable to flaunt that in front of your father and your mother's face. Let me illustrate this, and I got bad hung up on this last week. Let me illustrate this in a very familiar story. You know the story of the prodigal son? A prodigal son knew that daddy, there's no way daddy is going to put up with his raddest living that he had in his heart to do. And so what did he do? He said, man, I can't follow these rules anymore. I can't do what daddy wants me to do anymore. I'm tired of living this life. I'm not going to obey daddy. But I'm going to at least give daddy enough honor. If I'm going to live the way that's in my heart to live, I'm going to go in the far country and do it. I'm not going to do it under his own roof. Are you listening? I ain't going to flaunt it in his face. I ain't going to put him in a situation where he has to make some severe decision against me. And what did he do? He went out in the far country, lived his own life, and he never came back home till he changed and repented in his heart. He not one day flaunted his disrespect and rebellion that was in his heart. He may not have been willing to obey his daddy, but at least he had enough honor in his heart, had enough God on him at least to honor, amen, honor, not to flaunt that in his daddy's face. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, the responsibilities of children, the responsibilities in this child-parent relationship, the responsibilities of parents. Let me deal with this. We just got the first one. There's two to the children, but there's three, I believe, in our text to the parents, at least three. And the first is, I believe that parents are to be like-minded. Notice our verses this morning. Children, obey your parents. Both of them, father and mother, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse number 2, honor thy father and mother. The Bible said in verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And he makes a switch in verse number 4, I believe, dealing with the fathers. We'll deal with that in a moment. Specifically, outlining and specifically dealing with them, Jerry, because they are the headship of the government of the home. A father is the head of the home. The father and the mother are to be working together in like-mindedness. You can't have a daddy that has one set of rules for the children and mama has another set of rules for the children. That is chaos and confusion and will breed, my friend, children that will not turn out for God. Father and mother's got to be on the same page. They've got to be like-minded. In Proverbs chapter number 1, I read this verse to you last week. Look at it again with me, if you will. In Proverbs chapter number 1, Solomon speaking to his son about the importance of getting a hold of what he's teaching. Notice what he said in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, this is Solomon, the father, speaking to his son. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying father and mother has some instruction and some law to lay down. But Brother Mark, it's got to be the same. You can't have one set of rules when daddy's home and another set of rules when daddy's away at work. You can't have Amen. You can't have daddy saying, I think we ought to go this way. And then when daddy turns his back, mama's kind of saying, well, you know, it's all right. Daddy ain't around. That is a wicked woman. That is a wicked woman that will not back and support her husband in the rearing of their children. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, I'm not saying that a father should not listen to what the mother has to say. In fact, I'm saying quite the opposite. We ought to be working together. There are times in parenting my children that I have maybe got on to one of the children about something, and I didn't have all the facts. And then after the dust settled and the smoke cleared, my wife would say, can I talk to you? And she began to give all the details of the situation that I didn't understand and clarify it. And there's been times I've had to come back and apologize for how I parented a situation because we work together. We try to work together. The devil would love nothing more than to drive a wedge between father and mother. Amen. I said it last week. Them children, man, they can smell division like a shark can smell blood. Amen. If they even think that mom and dad ain't on the same page, what do? They begin to play one against the other. Well, I'm going to go over here and ask dad. I'm not going to ask mom because I know mama say no, but dad may say yes. What are they doing? They picked up on a little speck of division, and they're going to do everything they can to drive that wedge in there to get their own way. You've got to be unified in these days in raising children. There's so many avenues. There's so many things that we're dealing with in our generation. You've got to have some like-mindedness about it. And listen, if you don't have like-mindedness, if you can't find like-mindedness on an issue, then you go with what daddy says. If it's so severe that you can't go along with what daddy says, then you need to seek counsel from some mature believer, somebody that amen, has been there, done that, that can help you and get some wisdom, and both of you sit down and find some instruction from somebody else on how to handle it. It's that important that you be like-minded. Well, I ain't going to go get counsel because then everybody, the preacher, think we got issues. I already think you got issues because I got issues. My family has issues, so you've got issues. You're not always going to know what to do, but it's imperative as parents in raising children that mother and father be like-minded. Number two, amen, parents not only be like-minded, but parents are to be loving. Children need love. Children need to be loved. Children, my friend, thrive in an atmosphere of love. And I'm not saying that we're not to be disciplinarians. In fact, if you look in verse number 4, the Bible said, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." That is, don't discourage them. Don't upset them. Don't enrage them by your attitude and how that you discipline them and how that you train them. Make sure that love prevails. Amen. Above the spirit of anger and the spirit of wrath. Nobody likes to be yelled at. There ain't a person in this room likes to be mistreated. There ain't a person in this room that likes for somebody. Let me illustrate it this way so you parents understand what we do to our children sometimes. None of us like it if you go down the job and they raise the bar so high that you can't ever meet it. And then when you don't meet it, they yell at you, they blister you, they rail on you, they just beat you down and wear you down. What's that make you do? That makes you want to go find another job. Amen. But parents do that. If we ain't careful, we'll do that. Have you ever had a good job where when you did something right, they praised you and they loved on you and they cherished you and they made a big deal about that? That makes you get to the place you don't want another job. You're happy where you are. Why? Because there's an atmosphere that is conducive to that relationship. I believe that's what Paul is saying in verse number 4. Make sure that as a parent you're fulfilling your responsibility to be loving. Now, I have had the privilege to raise six children thus far. I am raising six children thus far. We've come through the newborn stage. We're out of the toddler stage completely now. Our youngest is six. Our oldest is 14. And so we're just coming in the teen years. I know a little bit about the toddler years and the newborn years and them early years, and a little bit about the preteen years. And so y'all pray for me as we're coming in the teen years. The Lord would continue to instruct us. I'm not telling you this morning I got it all nailed down. I don't. But in raising six children in the last 14 years, there are times your children are not very loving. In fact, I can understand why some in the animal kingdom eat their young. There's times, man, they frustrate you. They get on your last nerve. There's times you've told them and told them and told them and told them, and they turn around and they do the opposite of what you've told them. What does that youngin need? That youngin still needs love. That youngin still needs, no matter how disappointed you are in the actions they make, no matter how much that they have failed you or failed to live up to what you have said, children still need love. That prodigal son, as far as he went in the hog pen, as down as he got when he hit the bottom, you know where he said he's going to go back to? He said, I'm going back to Father, because Daddy's a daddy that loves, even loves his servants. I'm going to go back, and maybe he'll just let me get in on that. I know that he's a loving man. He went back to where the love was at. And can I say this morning, I'm not raising my children to go to the far country, and I beg God that they live for God every day of their life. I'm trusting and clinging to Proverbs 22:6. That is a promise that they can turn out right. But at the end of the day, if they do, it will not be because of me. It'll be in spite of me. I'm glad I get to raise my children on this side of Calvary. On this side of Calvary, thank God there's mercy and there's grace. Had we been on the other side of Calvary, poor Samuel would have been stoned a long time ago. You say, I'm going to lay down the law. Amen. Thank God we're not, and I'm not saying don't have rules. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't be the authority, but I'm telling you, thank God we're on this side of Calvary, and we ought to be parenting with a spirit of love. I had a daddy who was a very, he wasn't military, but man, the way he parented us, he might as well have been. He was a drill sergeant. And I mean, you talk about rough. It was rough. I mean, it was rough. What Daddy said, it was. And Daddy blistered me. And I'm not complaining. I didn't understand it growing up. But at 35 years of age, I'm thankful I had a daddy that laid some rules down and guidelines down. I am what I am today because of a daddy who parented me in that way. My daddy is out. Coming to my teen years, my daddy didn't have the same interest that I had. Growing up, I'd rather fish and hunt and go camping and anything in the world. My daddy wasn't raised that way. He didn't understand that. He'd rather be on a golf course. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, it was my 13th birthday. I wanted to go camping for my birthday. My daddy hated camping. And daddy put aside what he wanted to do. I remember this just as clear as a bell. I thought, there's no way Daddy's going to take me camping. Daddy hates camping. Daddy can't stand fishing all night. There's no way Daddy's going to take me camping. But at 13, Daddy walked into school at the school that the church had there, and he walked over to my little cubicle there, and he said, hey, we're going camping tonight for your birthday. Son, I can remember as a 13-year-old just being so excited. I knew my daddy hated camping. I knew daddy would rather go to the dentist than go camping. But to think that daddy loved me enough to put aside something he wanted to do so that his son could know that he loved him made all the difference in the world. Amen. Parents are to be loving. Amen. Yelling and stomping and punching holes in the walls, having the law called out, that is no way for a Christian parent to be raising their children. Amen. You ought to be loving, even when you got to get on them, when you've got to discipline them. It ought to still be done in an attitude of love. After you've had to tear their hind end up, we do believe in spanking. In fact, one of the greatest demonstrations, you children ain't going to like this very much, one of the greatest demonstrations of love the Bible gives is that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And a parent, a father that loves his child will reprove him and rebuke him and use a rod on his behind. Can I get a witness right there? I'm not talking about beating you youngins. You beat you youngins, we men going to get together and beat on you. Amen. I'm not talking about mistreating a youngin, but even when you discipline them, it not ought to be in a fit of rage and anger and an attitude of hatred. You discipline them in love because you're right, not in trying to dictate over them and in anger and in hatred force them into what you want them to do. Amen. Parents are to be like-minded. They're to be loving. Let me say this. Parents are to be leading. Notice this. I'm going to finish this just quickly this morning. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now notice this, but bring them up. In other words, lead them. Bring them along. It's not an overnight process. You get them. Your wife wakes you up one night and says, I think I need to go to the hospital. And you go down, and 36 hours later, there's a life. God lets you hold your precious youngin. From that moment of time until God allows them to mature, Brother Jordan, you have them in that space probably somewhere between 18 to 21 years. You have them to raise them and to lead them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You don't leave them to their self. You got to teach them how to eat. You got to teach them how to walk. You got to teach them how to clean themselves. You got to teach them how to function. In fact, the idea behind bring them up means to lead them into maturity. I'm not raising toddlers. I'm raising young men and young women. Amen. Nothing's more sickening than to hear a little eight-year-old still talking like a baby, sucking his thumb. Amen. At 3 and 4 years old, we quit the thumb-sucking business. What are we doing? We're bringing them on up into maturity. Amen. When they're newborn, you're raising them to be a toddler. When they're a toddler, you're raising them, my friend, in them early years. And then in them early years, you're raising them toward the preteen years. And in the preteen years, you're raising them into the teen years. And from the teen years, my friend, if you ain't got it nailed down by then, you are not going to raise a young man and a young lady. Bring them up. Lead them to maturity. Parents are to do it. How are they to do it? Bring them up in the nurture. Now that deals with correction. The word nurture means discipline. Bring them up in chastening. When they get out of line, lead them with some correction. There's times you got to whoop them. Well, I just love my youngins too much to whoop them. That ain't what the Bible said. Bible said if you won't whoop them, you hate your children. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Amen. He that hateth his son spareth the rod. Amen. You spare it, you're going to spoil them. You spare the rod. Amen. Old Solomon said, don't even spare for their crying. You say, man, when I whoop my children, they cry. Look up in here. They're supposed to cry. I ain't ever got a whooping I didn't feel like crying. There's a few times I thought, man, in my old rebellious heart, I got in trouble. I thought, I'm not going to cry this time. And the first whack with the rod or with the belt, son, the tears started flowing. You'd have thought Daddy killed me. Amen. What is that? That's providing parental leadership in the home. If you do not do that, listen, if you don't bring some of the most wicked, vile people that has ever been turned out of homes are children that have not been disciplined. Amen. Then he said, what's he say? He said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition. The word admonition means a mild rebuke. It means to give warning. You don't have to whoop over everything. Man, they some daddies, they act like they like getting whoopings. Giving whoopings. Amen. That's wicked. I ain't ever got much joy out of disciplining my children. It ain't ever thrilled my heart. I ain't ever just, my friend went out and had a party because I had to whoop my children. Amen. Sometimes it's a mild rebuke. Sometimes you got to whoop them. Notice how the process goes. And I want to give you a principle here, and I'm winding down. He said, bring them up in the nurture. That deals with discipline. That deals with chastisement and admonition. That deals with the mild rebuke. I believe if you'll start out in them early years, them toddler years, with the nurture side, the chastening side, the rod side, when they're young and they're tender, then as they get older, you won't have to whoop them near as much. I've watched it with my own. My oldest daughter is 14. Thank God she don't get near the whoopings. In fact, I can't even tell you the last time I had to whoop her. I'm sure it's been in the last 6 months, but it was such an insignificant matter, I can't even tell you. Am I right? But son, when she is a toddler, man, I felt like all we ever did was beat the devil out of her. Every time we turned around, we'd have, go to your room, put your hands on the bed. Don't you move them hands. You take your whooping and come right back out the room and then march right back in the room. And sometimes you feel like, man, all I'm doing is wearing them out. And hey, can I tell you, as a parent that's come through them years, it pays off. Now when Tori's maybe doing something we don't want to do, we can sit down and say, look, you don't need to do that. Now, if you keep doing it, we're going to whoop you. But you need to just straighten up right now. And oftentimes, that's enough. When you bring them up in the nurture and you deal with that when they're real young, when they come to maturity, it's just a mild rebuke you got to give them. Amen, amen, and amen. A lot I want to say here. And we're going to be starting our young families class, Lord willing, here pretty soon. And I'll be able to communicate a lot more than we've been able to. Let me end on this, the rewards of the relationship. We're dealing with this child-parent relationship. What are the rewards? Listen, you young folk, JJ, if you'll do what God tells you to do in this passage, notice what Paul said is the reward that children receive. He said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The reward for the child, for children, is that they receive a good and long life. Children that will obey and learn to honor their parents have a promise of a reward that God said it's going to be well with you. That means you're going to have a good life. And that you're going to live many, many days on this earth. Why? Because I have fulfilled my rank and responsibility in the child-parent relationship. Do you want to live long, John? How many years would you like to live, John? Would you like to live 80 years? You have a promise from the Word of God that God's going to let you live a good, not just a good life, but a good long life when you, my friend, fulfill your responsibilities as children. Don't be a rebel. Don't be like the generation that's coming up in our day that thrives on rebellion and thrives on, I'm going to be my own man and do my own thing. Learn to submit yourself in that relationship. What's the reward for parents? I think the reward for parents is simply this. If we'll fulfill our role and rank and responsibility, we'll have the reward of seeing our children be successful. I'm not trying to raise failures. Listen, and by the way, and I know you're not supposed to say this in church, I'm not just trying to raise them to be successful for the Lord. That is the most important. I want them to be successful in life. I want my boys to grow up and make a whole bunch of money. Right? Listen, man, I know what it's like. When me and my wife first got married, man, we had a ramen noodle diet. Ramen noodles and mac and cheese. I hope my children grow up and they don't have to go through that. I hope they'll be far more successful than their father has been. Is that right? I ain't trying to hold them back. I tell all these young folk, they're not dumb. They're not stupid. They can be all that God wants them to be in this life. Amen. And I don't believe in this mentality. Well, you can be anything you want to be. You can't be anything you want to be. I want to be an astronaut. I can't be one. Amen. I know you ain't supposed to say this stuff. You can't be anything you want to be. But God has given you, Riley, certain abilities and talents and things you can use to be successful the way God wants you to be. Amen. You ain't got to flip burgers your whole life. I'm not downplaying flipping burgers. Somebody's got to flip mine. Am I right? But you ain't got to do that your whole life. You can set your mind to say, God, show me what abilities and talents you give me. And what greater joy does a parent have to see their children serving the Lord? John said it, and I know he's speaking of his spiritual children, but how much greater is it physically where John said, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. Some of the most discouraged parents are parents that have children that are not right, that are not saved, that are not living right, that are not living the way that they was raised to live. And I'm not here to cast stones, be it far from me, to do that, especially as one who ain't even produced them yet. But I'm going to tell you something. You just keep loving them and leading them. Amen. Be there for them when they hit the end. And praise God, I believe they can come back. But what greater joy to us as parents. But Jordan, what greater joy could we have? What greater reward could we have? And to see our children every week of their life get up in a choir and sing for the Lord. To be faithful to church, to be faithful to God's people, to be faithful to the man of God, to be in love with God with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. That is the reward for parents that do it the Bible way. You'll produce successful children for God primarily, and if you'll do it right, you'll pass on some things to them where they'll be successful in life. Well, the child-parent relationship, let me say this. Don't take anything I say out of context, and everything's recorded. So, amen, if you go lying about anything I said, we can pull them CDs out. All right? It's all been from the Bible, from the Word of God. And I feel like maybe we've struggled a little bit this morning, but you need to get, especially last week. I think last week the Lord really settled in here and tried to help us in as parents and as children. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe as goes your home, so goes this church. Now, I ain't done a lot of it thus far in our ministry here, but my ministry in 12 years at my first church was majored on the home, majored on the marriage relationship, child-parent relationship, grandparents relationship. You got a role in this too, and you can't be just spoiling all the time. Amen. There's got to be some structure set. God's got the answers, and if we'll do it His way in the home, guess who reaps the benefits? Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. We want a strong church, but we got to have strong families. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these that have come in this morning. I pray that you'd help us, give us, Lord, what we need this morning. Lord, we're getting ready here in just a few minutes to start the worship hour. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us and speak to us. And Father, give us all things that we have need of. You know who's here today that's lost. I pray they'd fall under conviction and be saved today. You know those that are here today, they're discouraged and don't know where to turn, don't know where to go. Father, I pray that you'd help them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, most of all this morning, just meet with us, meet every need. God, pass by our way, and we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's take about 5 or 6 minutes, and Sister Candy, about 5 minutes, start playing, choir, make your way on. Amen. You hear the pianist start playing, we get started. About as close on time as we can, okay?